Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message, and now on to this week's sermon.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence in this room, Lord, and we can know that you are here, because your word says that if two or three of us are here, so are you, God, and we celebrate your presence with us, and we ask that our hearts would be drawn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're continuing on with our series about discerning God's word today, his voice, his word, both. I get that wrong every time. I'm not going to lie. Kathy corrects me a lot on that one. So I got a question for you. You're going to start out with a question. How many parents do we have in the room? All right, quite a few. How many parents with more than one kid in the room? Still quite a few, right? All right, how many times have you, at some time in the past, maybe been a little irritated with one of your angelic children, and you go to call them out, but what do? You start with the oldest and run through the whole list of names right before you get to the right one. Yeah. It's like Stephanie, Morgan, Jake, Ben, whoever. What is your name anyway? Right. We've all been there. We have all been there. But you know who doesn't have that kind of a problem? The Lord doesn't have that kind of a problem. He knows us all by name. He knows your name here today. He knows the number of hairs on our head. And he knew all that stuff. Yeah, I know. It's kind of funny. He knew us before we were born. In Psalm 139, it talks about him knitting us together in our mother's womb. That's incredible, guys. Our Creator, he knows us. He knows us. And I mean, we can look through Scripture and see that God is familiar with us by name, right? When God wanted to speak to a confused little boy ministering in his temple, what did he do? He called the child by name, Samuel, Samuel. And when he wanted to get the attention of a weeping woman seeking the body of her crucified Lord, he called her by name, Mary, Mary. And when he wanted to reroute a man that was traveling to Damascus to persecute Christians, he called him by name, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I love the old song that we sing sometimes. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And he calls me by name. The Lord knows our names. And when he speaks to us, he speaks personally. When God speaks, it's personal. He speaks to us personally. He leads to us, you know, all to different destination. He leads us to, He leads us all to the same destination, right? He leads us all there, but there are so many different paths that are unique to each of our lives and each of our experiences, so many different paths that leads us to that place, that destination, right? We all grow together to be better disciples, and he heads us in that same direction, but he gives us all a different route to get there, gives us all different ways of getting there, and we might think that, you know, about stories from the Bible and how God's voice came to people, you know. God, we see, especially in the Old Testament, God's voice would come a lot of times through the voice of an angel. God would speak through an angel. But I'm guessing that if we had the chance to kind of bring Abraham or Moses or one of those guys or Gideon back into our room today and we quiz them about hearing from angels and having angels visit them, and we would ask them, man, how cool is that to have an angel just pop up and show up and start talking to you? I'm pretty sure that they would say, no, you've got it backwards. We think it's really cool because you've got the Holy Spirit who lives in you every day. You don't have to wait for an angel to visit you. You've got the Holy Spirit in you, guiding you. It's like a personal tour guide, giving us private instruction specifically for us. He's fully aware that the plans he has for us. God knows the plans he has for us, and we can trust him completely with those plans to instruct us along the way to draw us to him. Now, Don't get confused here. I don't want to be misquoted. God does speak to us personally, right? But I'm not saying that his truth is relative. I'm not saying there are many ways to God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I fully believe that. I'm not saying that there's such a thing as your truth and my truth. There's only the true truth of Jesus Christ. But because of God's knowledge of you and God's knowledge of me, he'll apply his truth to you in a way that is as unique as your life and as unique as your circumstances. For sure, the Bible has many statements that are black and white truths, right? We know that if it's in Scripture, there are certain things that are black and white. They are true, that we stand on these truths, right? Things that apply all the time. And we know that the Holy Spirit's not going to give us a different instruction than what God's Word here is going to give us, right? We don't need to pray about those things, right? We don't need to pray about them. We don't need to skirt around those things. They're black and white. God gives us instruction in his word. Once I was in a situation, speaking about we don't have to pray about some things, I was in a situation that wanted me to pray with him because he was trying to start this fledgling relationship with a married woman. And he wanted to pray about how, you know, God could bring them together. And it's like, no. We don't need to pray about that one. We don't need to pray about that one. That one's in here in God's Word. I'm not going to pray with you about that. However, there are plenty of things that the Bible doesn't address directly, right? There's plenty of things that the Bible just doesn't directly address. Not every situation that we're in. Do we need to stay put or do we need to move? Do we need to leave our job or do we need to take another job or stay with our job? Should you serve another year in the ministry that you're serving in at Joy Church? Then you're not going to find a black and white answer. You're not going to open it up and it says, take the job. You're not going to open that up and find that, right? Because there's some things that just aren't black and white in God's Word. But the beautiful thing is, the fantastic thing is, the amazing thing is that this is where the Holy Spirit comes into play. This is where the Holy Spirit can lead you. God cares about every aspect of your life, every little detail. I know Kathy talks about that a lot, about how God cares about the little things that we feel like are trivial. But God, our Creator, who delights in us every day, cares about every detail of our life. And he'll give you a personal commitment about things as he uses his truth from Scripture to speak specifically to your situation. So as we read God's Word, he reveals things to us that guide us in the direction that he would have us to go, that gives us the information to make the decisions, to make the choices that we need to take. Well, what could this look like? What's like a real-life application of this? Well, last week we had an elders meeting, and one of our esteemed elders, Mary Beth, she said I could use this story. Unless she's changed her mind. She said when she was young, when she was younger, she had, her kids were babies, young. And, you know, mom puts the kids to sleep for a nap and finally gets a break for the day, right? For just a few minutes. And she said she would love to go and turn on a soap opera and watch that soap opera while the kids were asleep. And on the surface, there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's absolutely, it was a way to relax, to get away from the hectic, to get off her feet for a few minutes. But somewhere along the way, the Holy Spirit kind of started speaking to her about that soap opera and said, Mary Beth, you really shouldn't be doing that. And I think Mary Beth's first response was, I don't hear a thing, God. I don't hear what you're saying. But she came around and she realized that, okay, for me, this thing, this TV show that I'm watching, God's telling me not to do it. So I think my best response to that is not to do it. And so she stopped watching that soap opera, right? And she had to realize, too, though, that God wasn't telling everybody to do that. Maybe some of her friends were still watching, and she couldn't go and judge them for that. Because God spoke to her heart. Scripture doesn't say don't watch Luke and Laura get married. If you're younger, just ask. It's not in God's word, but he led her to that. Another great example is maybe having a drink, having a glass of wine at dinner or before dinner or having a drink. And, you know, some people believe it's fine and okay. And some people think, nope, it's not okay. And really the only black and white thing we see in Scripture about that is don't get drunk. But God might speak to you and he might say, you know, I don't think you should be drinking. And if he says that to you, my best advice, don't do it. Obey. Hear his voice and obey, right? So we hear from God. And let's say, for example, he says that to us on alcohol. He says this to you to stop, to don't drink any alcohol, not even that one drink. And what's your responsibility with that? Don't do it, right? Right? Don't do it. But what's your other responsibility with that? It's not to judge somebody else because God hasn't spoken that same word to them, right? It's not the same, you know, you might go to dinner and your friend has a glass of beer or a glass of wine and God has told you specifically for you not to. Okay, so you don't. But you can't judge that other person, right? Because God's speaking differently to them. He leads us all in the path of becoming disciples. But he does it in different ways. And I really feel like, kind of a side note, that that's where so many Christians turn non-believers off, right? You know, for example, I might be trying to tell a friend, I have a friend who's not a Christian, and I tell them, it's wrong to drink, you shouldn't be drinking. And then that friend, you know, happens to go to a restaurant, and he sees an elder or a pastor or a leader from a church, and they have a glass of wine in front of them, and he says, see? They're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. When in reality, it's just a matter of who God speaks to in which way and what God speaks to us individually. It's so important to be intentional to hear what he says and to do what he says, but also to know that things that aren't black and white, things that aren't in his word, he speaks personally to us, and we have to make the choice to obey. When I drive here from church, when I drive here from home, I'm at church, right? When I drive here from home, I come down Route 4, whatever that one is. In Tennessee, we give our streets names, okay? We don't give them numbers. And so I come down there and I take the cutoff through Chichester and brings me to Pittsfield. That's the way I like to come. I feel like that's the best way for me. When Kathy's driving, she'll typically go down whatever that number road is to the traffic circle in Epsom and then turn north and come to Pittsfield. A different route, a different way to get here. But guess what? Here we are. We're both here, right? Both ways bring us to the same destination. And I think that's the way God speaks to us too, individually and personally. That we have these choices and God directs us and leads us. And it's so very important that we listen, that we know his word, we know what's in here, we know his principles and his precepts, and then we can make the best decision that God is leading us to personally, right? Kathy and I both get here. There's not a right or a wrong way to get here. Well, I feel like mine's better, but there's not a right or a wrong way to get here, right? So we have these things that are like open-handed things and close-handed things, right? We don't have to all agree on some of these open-handed matters. I mean, we agreed on the not praying for the relationship with the married woman, right? I think we could all agree on that here today. But a drink with dinner, or maybe playing a lottery ticket, soap operas, maybe some of those things are things that are open-handed. And we believe and we trust that God, the Holy Spirit in us, will guide us in that best way for us. And that he gives us direction. He gives us the way that we should go so that we can be on that path that leads to the same destination of being a disciple of Jesus. But it's the path that he has us on, right? So James, the brother of Jesus, he made it really, really personal. He made it really personal, and he wrote a letter that is in the New Testament, wrote it to the churches, and he says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. It's sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. That is not going to lead us directly to watch Luke and Laura or to have that drink or not. If Mary Beth had chosen to watch, it would have been sin for her. And we need to apply it personally. We need to hear his voice and apply what he speaks to us personally. There's another important thing about the way that God speaks to us personally. We have to know. Last week a little bit, if you were here, we talked about what the heart of God and the character of God. So, knowing those things, knowing God's heart, knowing God's character, when a message or we get some kind of a voice, the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and we're sensing that it may, or maybe it's not the Holy Spirit, maybe it's some kind of an inner voice, it's our own inner voice, it could be the voice of Satan, and we feel condemned or we feel guilty, we've got to know that that's not from God. We've got to know that that's not from God. Now, the Lord will convict. He will convict us when it's time, but he won't condemn us. That's so very important for us to remember and to really put into our hearts and minds. God will convict us of the things that he wants us to do differently, the things we're doing wrong, of the sin. We'll say the word. We'll say the S word. He'll convict us of the sin. But he won't condemn you of the sin. He won't condemn you. If you feel condemned and not convicted, you can be assured that it's not God speaking to you. It's not God's voice. It's the enemy of our soul who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, speaking to you in a condemning way. Because God is love. I mean, I felt this in my own life, right? My thoughts so easily. I can go so easily to the past and the things, the mistakes I've made, the shortcomings I've had, the failures I've had, even just the bad choices that I've had. From there to condemnation, to guilt, and to shame. Well, who's telling me that? Who's telling me that? It's not from God. I know I'm forgiven. God will not remember our sins. So all these words can remind me that the Lord's goal is never to bring guilt. Repeat that. Never to bring guilt and condemnation by reminding me of the past. He leads us lovingly into grace, always forward and not backward. And knowing this truth, it can make a huge, huge difference in our ability to win. Instead of when we're being led by the enemy, who is always so crafty, and the enemy knows our buttons so well. I mean, you heard the youth up here, and how many of the ones that were up here said that they had been told, point back at the things that I've done in the past that prove that I'm not enough. Well, praise God, I'm not enough, but Jesus is. And he brings that healing and that restoration and wipes away all that guilt and the shame from the past. When God speaks to you, he may reveal sin. He might bring it into the open for you to confess and to deal with. Yes, we're sinners. God brings that to our attention, brings it into the open, and we deal with it. But he wants to work in your heart to improve you. He doesn't want to shame you or put you down or put you in your place. He wants to bring out the ugly stuff and replace it with newness. Bring out all that ugly junk that sits there in our hearts that we can't let go of or haven't let go of or won't let go of. He wants to replace that with newness of life. When we're in Jesus Christ, we're a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That comes straight from Scripture. The old is gone. God knows what we've done. He knows us intimately and personally. Like I said, as I got started, he knit us together in our mother's wombs. He knows us. He knows what nobody else knows about you. Those things that are just too hard to bring up, those things that you feel like are just too ugly to talk about, God knows those things about you. He knows every mistake you've made. And yet he chose to have his son crucified on a cross to cover those sins, to cover those mistakes. God loves us and there's nothing we can do about it. He loves us that much. He loves you personally, as a person, not just as he's got the whole world in his hands, or Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves you personally. Insert your name. With God, there is now no condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's us. No ridicule. Total love for you and for me personally. You'll know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you personally about your sin when the feeling you get is not despair, but a fresh desire to be holy. That's an important one. You'll know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about your sin when the feeling you get is not despair, it's not guilt, it's not shame. It's a fresh desire to be holy, to be more like Jesus. You know it's God when He's calling you back to His side and not tossing you outside. Let's look at a story from Scripture, from John chapter 8, the book of John in the New Testament. And I'll remind you, even as Kathy does pretty often, that table of contents is there for a reason. Use it if you need it. Don't feel bad. There is no condemnation. If you don't know where the book of John is, look in the table of contents. It'll give you a page number, and boom, there you are. So John 8, we're going to look at that. So the story that we're going to read, part of anyway, is it's about a group of scribes and Pharisees, and these were some of the very most religious people of the day, the people who knew all the laws and all the scripture and memorized like the whole Old Testament almost. No kidding, that's a lot of memory, huh? So they would do that, and they knew this stuff, they knew the law. And they caught this woman in adultery. Let's read in John 8, starting in verse 2. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, he being Jesus, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. So here he was in the temple at church. Jesus sat down and started teaching. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. A woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say, does that look like?" And so they got her and dragged her to church. Imagine how she felt. Imagine how you would feel if somebody felt what they did. Look what he did. Look what she did. Imagine how that would feel. These men had no desire to help this woman out of her sinful lifestyle. They had no desire for that. They wanted to simply disgrace her, embarrass her, shame her, and expose her. And also they wanted to discredit Jesus in the meantime, right? Jesus, what are you going to do with her? You're here teaching at church. What are you going to do? You know the law. You know, that's what Satan wants to do to us today, right? Point out your worst sin and bring it to light, and hopefully he can discredit you, and in his eyes, hopefully he can discredit you and make you feel guilty and ashamed. What's he been accusing you of lately? What's he been accusing you of lately? But let's look how the story changed and how your story can change too when Jesus did get involved. The crowd, they were demanding that this law of Moses, you got the law. You're here preaching in church, teaching in church. You know the law, Jesus. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Would he break Moses' law or would he participate in the stoning of this woman? They accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So Jesus, he was just stooped over and started writing. And we're like, Jesus, what is going on? You're sitting there writing in the ground. What are you going to do? So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground some more. Dead silence. Nobody was qualified for that. Even those very religious scribes and Pharisees knew that they weren't qualified for that. So they slowly, one by one, they dropped their rock and they went away. The only one who had the right to call her out and to take her life was the one speaking. The one who knew this woman personally. Remember, Jesus is God 100% and man 100%. He knew this woman. He knew her while she was knit in her mother's womb. She knew every mistake, or he knew every mistake that she made, every mistake that she would make. This vile, adulterous, guilty woman. And she was those things. But even knowing how guilty she was, he didn't throw a stone at her. Did you hear that? He did not throw the first stone. And he won't throw them at you either. He won't throw them at you either. We need to all bury this truth in our minds, deep in our hearts, so that we can more clearly recognize this, the voice of God, the voice of Jesus when it speaks to us personally. He alone has the right to condemn you. Jesus has the right to condemn me. He knows what I've done. For goodness sake, he died on the cross for those things. He knows those things. He has every right to condemn me. But he has chosen instead to give us grace despite everything. Give us grace. He didn't throw stones then, and he doesn't throw them today. Where are they? Jesus said. Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. From now on, sin no more. He didn't ignore her sin. He acknowledged that she was caught in sin. But he just didn't condemn her. God convicts us, but he doesn't condemn us. So hear me out. God's voice will convict us. It will convict us. He'll point out our sin. But he's also at the same time going to show you and tell you how much he loves us and how much love he has towards us. He won't condemn us or burden us with guilt. Let me tell you, if you feel condemned today or burdened with guilt, somebody needs to hear this. It's from the very pit of hell. Jesus does not condemn. He does not throw that first stone. Whenever I feel the pain of stones being thrown at me, I can quickly remember that they are not coming from Jesus. He convicts me, but he won't condemn me. I know that because I know where condemnation comes from. And so do you. So I'm not going to listen to it. So we're not going to listen to it. We're not going to listen to the condemnation that Satan would try to throw in front of us. We're not going to listen to the voice in our head that tells us we're not enough. We're not going to listen to the voice in our head that says, you remember that thing you did? And you try to call yourself a Christian? Come on. We're not going to listen to that voice because we know that's the voice of condemnation and it's not the voice of Jesus, right? Jesus bore the punishment for our sin, for your sin, for my sin on the cross. So when God speaks to you now, his words will not dispense judgment. They may reveal shortcomings. You'll recognize your sin, but he will never, ever, ever buffer his revelation with his grace, his love, and his second chance. I'm sorry, he will buffer. He will buffer this revelation. He will buffer this showing you of your shortcomings and your sin. He'll buffer that with revelation, with his grace, his love, and his second chance. We all have another chance. You're here today because you have another chance. You'll wake up tomorrow and you'll have another chance. Every day we have more of a chance to be more and more like Jesus, to grow more and more like him, and to never have to hear anybody say, "I condemn you." Never have to worry about Jesus throwing that first stone at us. His mercies are new every morning. God is love. Worship team, if you want to come up. Condemnation only points out a problem that so that you can be judged. It's just like these scribes and these Pharisees. They only pointed out this problem with this woman. They didn't care one iota about helping her out of her situation, about showing her the right way, about bringing her along to be a disciple of Jesus. They didn't care at all about that. They wanted to bring shame on her, and they wanted to prove that how good they were and how well they knew the law and how they upheld the law. Condemnation does that. It points out the problem only to judge and to bring guilt and shame. But God's personal words of conviction offer you a remedy, offer you a solution and a hope and a way forward, something that these scribes and Pharisees, that lady had no hope. She was going to die right there if they had their way. But Jesus, when God points out these words of conviction toward us, he gives us a way out. He gives us a hope and a way forward. You'll know this voice by its loving and personal tone. So when you're determining whether or not you're hearing from God, we can always consider his fatherness, his fatherliness, his fatherliness. Does it sound like the words of a father? Loving and kind and maybe stern, maybe calling you to be different, maybe calling you to grow, maybe calling you out of something comfortable, but they're loving words and they're hopeful words and they're words of a future and a plan for you. The story, it paints a picture of one who loved you so much that he gave the life of his only son to eliminate this separation between us and God, to eliminate this guilt and shame from the past, to bring hope for the future. His goal for you and for me from the very beginning of time has been to enjoy a close and intimate and loving fellowship with him. We see that as even last week as we talked about God's relationship with Adam and Eve in the garden, where he would meet them there. That's the way he wants you to know him. That's the way he already knows you. God's character will come shining through when he speaks. We talked about that. His character will shine through when he speaks. And if it doesn't, if you feel that it's coming from condemnation or a place of guilt and shame, know in your head immediately, that's not God. I'm not going to listen. Satan, leave me alone. Get behind me. You have no place here. But when it is God's voice, whether it's convicting or counseling or calling you toward a certain conclusion, maybe in regard to a specific thing in your life that you've been seeking him on, draw near to him. Draw near with an eager heart. A heart to do what he's asking you to do. A heart to do what he's telling you to do. A heart to follow him and become a disciple. Be more and more like Jesus every day. Even as we stumble, even as we make mistakes, we grow into be more and more like Jesus. We fail forward because God always gives us that push forward, that way forward, that be online hearing Jesus' words today and words to draw you to him. Maybe it's words of conviction, but it's not words of condemnation. Maybe he's convicting you of the lifestyle way, and I'll show you a way of hope and of a future. And yet, you know what? You're still going to screw up a lot. But I've got enough grace to cover that. I've got enough mercy to cover that. God gives us that grace. And if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior before, if you've never come to know Him, today could be the day. And that could be your response to the conviction that He's sharing with you, that He's showing you. And if you'd like to pray this for the very first time, I'm going to ask you to do it out loud with me. But here's the deal. Nobody has to pray alone. Here at Joy Church, we're all going to pray together out loud. If this is your prayer to the Lord to be your Savior and to ask Jesus to save you from sin and get you beyond this conviction to a place of hope and a future, then your life changes today. Today. So let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, I ask you into my heart. I ask you to be my Savior. Lord, the sin that I'm convicted of, I confess to you and I turn from it. And God, I thank you that you don't condemn. I thank you that you have a plan for me. I thank you that you have a future for me. God, I thank you for new life. I give you mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This stuff can be life-changing. Just understanding God's voice. Understanding His love and understanding the way He speaks to us and the way He doesn't speak to us. And being able to name, is this Jesus speaking with me? To me? Is this God speaking to me? Or is this someone else? Or is this the enemy of my soul? It's important stuff. And maybe you've been a follower of Jesus and you just haven't been able to overcome that voice in the back of your head, the voice of the enemy that tells you that you're not good enough, the voice in your head that tells you you've done too many wrong things, the voice in your head that says you're too far gone. Today is the day to change that. Today is the day to filter yourself, to filter your thoughts, and to know when Jesus speaks that it's going to be a positive thing. You know that even when He speaks of conviction or He speaks telling you you need to change some things, it's a way out. It's a way forward. It's a way to life and hope. So I want us to all take that with us today. And know that God is for you. Know His heart and His character to love and care. Hey, Kathy and I are going to be back here by the Connection Hub. Worship team's going to lead us in a little song about my Jesus. Have a great week. We love you guys. There's nothing you can do about it. The best is yet to come.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.